Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, always a delight to talk to our guy, John Heyman. And he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. John, good morning. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
We are living the dream, and we were thinking that the Cubs were going to sweep in L.A., but unfortunately, they got this guy out there, Shohei Ohtani, and man, oh man, that guy hit a home run last night, which you know is coming, and then he stole a base, which I guess you know is coming. 47 homers, 48 stolen bases. We'll get the details of the game, but he is in a league of his own, isn't he?
Unbelievable. I mean, he's on pace now, 52 home runs, 53 stolen bases, will be the first 50-50 man, assuming he gets there, and the first full-time DH to win the MVP. Still not over there. I'm still advocating that we still look at it. We shall see, but incredible and really, really just an amazing player, maybe the most talented player since Babe Ruth, maybe ever, and incredible that he cannot pitch this year and still will likely win the most valuable player.
Hurt the Cubs last night, prevented them from sweeping. In that series, Cody Bellinger had a strong return to his L.A. and was good against his former team. John, I appreciated your take that was posted yesterday about Bellinger and the options he faces in the offseason in terms of the opt-out and his contract status. What can you tell us about what you think the future holds for Cody Bellinger?
Yeah, I think he's got a fairly close call. I do think he probably will need a big finish to really opt out. I would think he's more likely to opt in. He's got $27.5 million for next year, or $2.5 million buyout if he does opt out. But he's got that option for the following year for $25 million as well. So if he opts in, he's still got the $27.5 million salary with another year we could opt out. So it still gives him some obvious options, no pun intended. But, you know, he's got it right now. If you look at his stats, they're not as good as last year. Still an outstanding all-around player. Very good center fielder, although we know that the Cubs have a great defensive center fielder. But he's very versatile. And I think if you look deeply at the stats, and maybe this is too much in the weeds that people aren't going to really go for this, but he's got about an 800 OPS on the road. Like almost every Cub, he's doing a lot worse at home. I don't know what's going on with the park factor there. It's not quite the Mariners park, but Wrigley Field has become a pitcher's haven this year for whatever reason, and his OPS only 723 this year. But if you look at his overall stats, I think it's 761 OPS, so he's still well above average as a hitter. Could opt out, but I think he needs a rally probably to take that option and do an opt out.
You know, I'm really glad you mentioned that, John, because we've talked about it. We heard from Craig Counsell talking about the difficulty of hitting at Wrigley, and Ian Happ came on the station and talked about it as well. Both those guys are real baseball guys and looking into numbers, etc. And as you well know, this used to be the launching pad. You know, the wind would blow out and everybody would have a wonderful summer's day. And now we're looking at the Cubs scoring, well, it's more than a run per game, more on the road than at home. And they just blew up with 25 runs against the Dodgers.
And they finished 10 out of 16 at home.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's not good.
Well, it helps their pitchers, I guess, but yeah. and their finishing schedule is not too bad, right? They've got Colorado, they've got Cincinnati, they got Washington, three out of the four teams. So I think it's a decent finishing schedule, giving them a chance. Obviously, five games out now, going to be tough. It's been done. The Phillies were seven out, as all New Yorkers will remember, with 17 to go in 2007 and caught the Mets. But the Cubs obviously have a couple teams to catch here. Not going to be easy, but I don't know what it is. It's a century-old ballpark. You wouldn't think it would change that much year to year. I don't know what it is. Tommy Pham, when he was on our podcast for the New York Post, said that it was bad in for the White Sox too, and the hitters, obviously their hitters aren't very good, but you know, something going on in Chicago. The wind is blowing in the wrong direction for the hitters. Does appear to be, and it's gone on for basically the whole season at this point.
Well, hopefully the winds of change will be coming in the south side, John, because it's mess for the White Sox. Jerry Reinsdorf issued a statement talking about how painful the season has been, how proud he is of the professionalism of the people involved. What did you make of what Jerry had to say?
I mean, I think it's expected and appropriate, and I'm not going to make too much out of it. We really need to judge based on what they do to recover from this at this point. I mean, it seems very unlikely they're going to avoid at least some part of that record. They'd have to go 10-5, and that doesn't seem very likely at this point. It's probably, if you take a calculator to it, it's probably 1,000-1 or something. And nobody expected the Tigers to avoid the 62 Mets 120-loss record in 2003, and they ended up winning 5 out of their last 6 games to avoid it and only lose 119. But again, 10-5 for the White Sox is going to be difficult. I'm going to judge the White Sox by what they do going forward, and obviously they are not a team that has spent, particularly for a big market team, the third market to have Andrew Benintendi be the biggest contract that you've signed. That's ridiculous at this point. I mean, come on, you got to do better than that. And I get it. They're not going to likely contend next year. Although, look at the Royals; they were 56 game winners last year. They're going to be in the playoffs this year. So but to come from 36 wins to the playoffs, not too likely. But I mean, they got to start spending pretty soon and start figuring things out, because this is just atrocious and it's embarrassing for a big market team to perform this way over a 162 game schedule. It's actually shocking. But let's judge him going forward. I know they've tried in the past for Machado and some of the big stars, but I think it's about time they really dive in and get somebody and try to do something for the fans, because they deserve it.
Yeah, and in the statement, Jerry threatened to speak at the end of the year, and it'll be fascinating. We're waiting with bated breath on what that web of deception will sound like.
Yeah, I like your use of the threatened there in the verb. But, there's nothing he's going to say that's going to make this better. This is just an absolute disaster. And, I mean, I thought they at least have a great sale, but unfortunately for them, Crochet had the innings issue, and then you had Robert not having a very good year. Was not the time to trade him, so they were not able to really make hay out of that trade deadline either. So, I mean, they got a lot of work to do, and it needs to include some real spending for a big market team at this point. You can't, we're not expecting them to contend next year, but they better show that they're actually trying going forward.
Benintendi is the most disappointing free agent maybe in their history, and he's having a better offensive year than Luis Robert Jr. That's how bad it has gotten on the South Side. John, I think you're exactly right about spending. I just don't have a lot of faith that they're going to spend. Do you feel like they could pivot and pursue free agents in a free agent class that has a lot of enticing options?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be difficult to get players to come there at this point. That's another issue, and it's going to be difficult to get a proven manager to come there. And I mean, I think that this has just made things more difficult. Why would a superstar player choose the White Sox unless he's way overpaid now? So that's going to be a difficulty. Look, the Tigers, going back 20 years, they were historically terrible, and they managed to do it by spending. They brought in Pudge Rodriguez. They brought in Maglio Ordonez. You guys are very familiar with him, right? And those deals turned out to be great for them. And eventually, it took a few years, but eventually they became a great team. But, of course, Mike Ilitch owned that team, and he was willing to spend big. You know, there aren't as many owners like that now. Most of them are not like that. Obviously, unfortunately, Peter Seidler passed away. He was like that. Ted Lerner in Washington, he was like that. Mike Ilitch, like that. But the majority of owners are more like Jerry, who are not big, big spenders in free agency. It's hard to remember now. One time they stepped out, and I believe it was a record at the time when they signed Albert Bell. I mean, that was not the guy to step out for, but at least their pocketbook was in the right place then, and that, of course, has gone back a couple decades. But not going to be easy to get guys to come to the White Sox, but they need to show something at this point, and got a long way to go. A lot of work to do there.
You know, back to the Cubs for a second, John. It was interesting that that we heard from Bob Nightingale claiming that there was friction in the front office, seemingly between the general manager and the manager, and that, as we know, there's another year left on Jed Hoyer's deal. I just hadn't heard a lot about that, and we were speculating, could it have something to do? We knew he wasn't doing handstands about the Drew Smyly waiver thing when Drew Smiley's still there. I don't know if it had something to do with the bullpen or whatever. Have you heard anything along those lines?
You know, I have not heard it. Give Bob Nightingale credit for that. I do. I would not be surprised. There's often friction when a team underperforms, and I think the expectations were higher than this. As I said, still got an outside chance, some chance to get in, probably close to 5 or 10%. But, yeah, I mean, they expect to be better than four games over. They certainly expect to be better than they were last year. They spent a lot of money for this manager. I think it's a disappointment for all that they're on the outside looking in at this point. And when that happens, in most cases, there is some friction because, there was with the White Sox, right? I mean, obviously their team was terrible, not in the Cubs situation. Cubs are not terrible, but it happened with the White Sox, and those were two guys who were close to each other from the Royals days, right? Grifol and Getz. But in this case, not a disaster, but certainly I would say an underperformance. And I can't be shocked if there's some friction.
Great stuff, John.
Thanks,
appreciate
John.
Your time.
See you, buddy.
All right, great talking to you guys.
You too.
That is our guy, John Heyman. He's the best.
He is the best.